book of John, chapter 3. The book of John, chapter 3. We'll read one verse. You probably learned it in your youth. John, chapter 3. I want to read one verse this morning, verse number 16. We've been hung up with this verse. I'm glad to be hung up with this verse for some time now. It is the Bible in a nutshell. It is the gospel in miniature. And John 3:16, if you'd stand to your feet as we read the word of God today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, would you help us this morning that we might preach your word in the power and the demonstration of your Holy Spirit. God, not of man's ability, for I have none. I am feeble, weak, and inept. But God, thou art strong. And I pray, God, that you would use us this morning. Fill us with your strength, with your spirit, with your power, and help us to preach this morning and show us, Father, clearly the love of God, more deep, Lord, than ever before. And for this we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Today we want to preach on this thought. Whosoever believeth in him. Whosoever believeth in him. Now the verse began with God. For God. God, who is God? Creator God. Amen. Created the mountains. Amen. And the seas. Yes. The sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, yes, the earth, yes, everything that we see and know. Amen. God created all things. Yes, and God is yet a spirit. Right. If he was just in a body, he couldn't be in all places. But God is omnipresent. Amen. He's in all places all, yes, at one time. And God is unchanging. He's an unchanging God in a very changing world, amen. And yet God is a God of holiness, and he's a God of purity. He's a God of judgment. Sin cannot stand in his presence, amen. And God, yet with all these attributes, he's a God of love. Now we know this about love, that love has to have an object in which to love. So God created man, an intellectual being, that God might love the man and that the man in return might love God. He wasn't interested in making a puppet or some type of a doll that he could pull a string or push a button and make them say, I love you, I love you. That's not interesting to him. He wants your heart. And he gave to the man and to the woman that he created, he gave them a choice. Amen. And if he gives us a choice, then there must be a test where you might have to make a choice. And he set the man in a garden in a paradise. And he said, look here, son, it's going to be a test, but it's multiple choice. Of all the trees that I have in the garden, you can eat of all of them except for one. There's only one wrong answer on this multiple choice test. And I'm giving you free will. You cannot eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And yet the devil came and said to the woman, oh, if you'll eat of that tree, you'll be like God. That's why God didn't want you to eat of that tree. And the woman partook. Her eyes were open. She gave to her husband. He knew she had done wrong. But rather than live without her, listen, he had rather live with her and know he would be dead, separated from a holy God. And he partook of it. And now both of God's creation, man and woman, they're in sin. And there's no way back for man to go back to God, to regain that fellowship. It's broken. And now man has to live in sin. He's gonna die in sin. He's going to make the place called hell his home. So what did God do? God said, I'm going to do something about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Man had chosen sin. Man had chosen disobedience. Man had chosen rebellion. But God made a choice. I'll send my son that's without sin, my son that'll take up on himself the sins of the whole world. And Jesus suffered. and he was shamed and he was separated from God the Father, and he gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary that you and I might be saved. And then after he died, they buried him, and he was in the grave 3 days. But on the first day of the week, up from the grave, our Savior rose, victorious over death, victorious over hell, and victorious over the grave. And now he comes to offer salvation so that anyone that might believe in him, he that shed his blood to forgive your sins, he that shed his blood that you might go to heaven, he that shed his blood that you might walk with him, that you might love him and have fellowship with him. Oh, thank God this morning that Jesus gives to every one of us today a choice. We have a choice to make today, and that choice is made by every person. And that choice involves good or evil. It involves a high way or a low way. It determines where your soul's going to go. And the Bible very clearly tells us this decision will point to us where you're going to spend eternity. Well, Preacher Darren, I just believe that we live here and we die. Your body will die, but your soul, death is that your soul leaves your body. When your soul leaves your body, where does it go? Those that are saved, forgiven of their sins, they're allowed to go into heaven. Amen. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. That's what the Bible says. You can't come on your own terms. It's got to be up to him. And if you choose to reject him, then you've made hell your home. And it's not that God sent you there, but you chose to reject God's Son. You chose to reject God's plan. So this decision for every person involves the Lord Jesus Christ. When I look at the text, whosoever believeth in him, that word whosoever, first of all this morning, I believe there are no exclusions. The word whosoever is one of the greatest words in all of the Word of God. Over and over again, we're reminded of who can be saved. Who can be saved? Whosoever will. Amen. Now, I think about this scriptural word of immense importance, and it embraces all, and yet it touches all. I know a church that they had three mission churches that they established in the inner city. And a lot of those people decided that they would have a combination service on the first Sunday of the new year. So the three mission churches from the inner city would come to the bigger church that launched those other three for one combined service. And when they all came together, the pastor noticed that the altar being full, one of those inner city churches, there was a former burglar. He was a thief. He had been caught red-handed. He had been arrested. He had appeared before the judge, and he had to serve 7 years in prison. And now after prison, the man got saved. John 3:16. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there was a burglar. And he saw all kinds of different people with different backgrounds. But right beside the burglar was the judge. The very judge that sentenced that young man to 7 years in prison. And they were praying side by side. And once they finished praying, they stood up and embraced each other and walked away. When the service was over, the pastor was walking through the parking lot and saw the judge. And he said, I saw a miracle this morning. What a great miracle of grace. And the judge said, yes, amen. But I'm not talking about the burglar. He said, I'm talking about me. He said, you know, just common sense tells you that the burglar needed to be saved. He had lived a life of crime and a life of violence. I mean, it'd be just natural that he needs to get saved and have his sins forgiven. But I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I was taught to be a good boy. I was taught to pray. I was taught to go to church, and I did. I went off to school. I got a degree. I worked in a law office. I advanced and became a judge. And he said, one day on the bench as I sat there, God convicted me of my sins. God came to me, a righteous man, a man who was good in his own sight. But God said, I sent my son to die for the likes of you. You're unworthy. You're undeserving. And he said, so the miracle of grace is not that God would just save a burglar. It's that God would save a judge, and that God would save a doctor. And that, amen, thank God that he would save whosoever will. Amen. both cases, it's God's grace that brought salvation, and his salvation is free to all, and it's welcome to all. Can I just give you a few verses about whosoever? John 4:13, Jesus answered. You can look, you're close. John 4:13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He's talking about physical water from that well. If he pointed to the well, I can just imagine. If you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Look at John chapter 11 while you're close. You remember how Lazarus has died and how the Lord Jesus Christ has come there to the house, and Jesus said to Martha, your brother will rise again. And in verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. Believest thou this? John chapter 12 and verse 46, while you're close. Jesus' words, he says, verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I could read further in Acts chapter 2. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Romans chapter 10 verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 10 43. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. Who are these whosoevers? Well, a couple of things. They're all classes of people. I'm talking about, God is not a respecter of persons. God's offer of salvation is to all classes of people. The upper class, the middle class, the lower class. In fact, Proverbs 22:2 says, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is maker of them all. Hey, you may be poor, but you have the same offer from God that he gave to the rich. Amen. You may be uneducated. My grandfather dropped out of school in the sixth grade. He has a fifth grade education. But God made my grandfather with a fifth grade education the same offer that he makes the college graduate or the doctorate's degree, amen. Hey, that offer, glory to God, I feel preaching stirring in me, amen. That offer is to one and all. At the Calvary Baptist Church, after the service was over, they were opening the doors for membership. And forward came the honored Reverend Charles Evan Hughes. And then a little Chinese lady that cleaned floors, and a Korean lady that did nails, and a man who was just released from prison, and all four of them had gotten saved by the grace of God. All four of them had been baptized. All four of them came forward to join the church. And guess what the pastor said? Here at Calvary, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And may I just point out this morning that at Calvary, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. It's level for the preacher. It's level for the deacon. It's level for the church member. It's level for the 82-year-old, and it's level for the 8-year-old. God sees us all equal in his sight. It's for all classes of people. Maybe you're cultured. Maybe you're illiterate. But you may be a millionaire. Maybe you're a pauper. But God's offer is to all classes of people. If you own a home, if you rent a home, or if you're homeless, God says, whosoever will, amen, whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. It's for not only all classes of people, but it's for all colors of people. I like that song, don't you? Jesus loves the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Whosoever means people of every race, every country, every color. Woo! It means the white man, the black man, the red man, the yellow man, and the mixed man. God's offer of salvation is to both the Jew and the Gentile. It's for the Norwegian, it's the Swedes, it's the Belgians, the French, the Japanese, the Chinese, the Spaniards, the Italians, the Greeks, the Germans, the Russians, the Burmians, the Indians, the Egyptians, the Africans, the Mexicans, and anyone else you want to name. God's offer is to all classes and all colors. And I'm glad it's that way. It's for all conditions of people. Be turned to John chapter 5. It's for all conditions of people. There was a young man who was carrying around the Bible and he was reading it. And someone came and said, "Young man, that book is not for you." And he said, "Oh yes it is, my name is in it." He said, "Show me." He said, "Whosoever means me." Hey man, when you see whosoever, just put your name there. Hey man, thank God for it. Hey, whosoever means the good man and the bad man. It means the lowest man and the meanest man, and it means the grandest and the purest man. George Whitefield, that great Puritan preacher, was preaching the word of God, and he said, "The Lord Jesus will save the devil's castaways." At about that time on the street came walking by two fallen women, and one stopped and looked at the other and said, "I think he's talking about us." And the other one said, "Let's go in." And they heard the gospel and they got saved. Amen. Hey, I don't care how wicked you've been. I don't care how perfect you think you are. God's offer is for one and all. If you've broken one commandment or all 10 of the commandments, God's offer is for one and all. Thank God for it. There was a man by the name of Mr. Klein. His wife had died. He was discouraged. He was dejected. His own children had no contact with him. It seemed that nobody cared for him. One Sunday evening, he was walking downtown past the city church, and while the services were in progress, listen closely. The congregation sang a song, "Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me." But Mr. Klein's hearing wasn't so good. So when the congregation was singing, "Jesus died for all mankind," he thought they said, "Jesus died for old man Klein." And he said, "That's me. They're singing about me." And he turned around and went into church and he heard the gospel and he got saved by the good grace of God. In John chapter 5, we meet a man. He has been powerless to walk, paralyzed. The Bible says in verse number 5, that he's had this infirmity for 38 years. He's laying beside a pool. An angel comes by to trouble the waters, and whosoever can get in the water first is made whole of whatever disease or whatever problem that they have. I don't care if you have COVID, if you're the first one in, if you've got cancer, if you're the first one in, hey man, you're going to get healing. But that man, being powerless to walk, had no one to help him get in the water, and somebody else would always beat him in. And in came walking a man named Jesus, who saw the man laying there. Woo! Look at verse number 4. It talks about that angel who went down at a certain season into the pool, troubling the water. Whosoever then first, after the, there's a word, whosoever, then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Thank God, Jesus, he can handle whatsoever problem you have. When he saw that man, he said, "Will you be made whole?" He said, "Sir, I've been laying here 38 years. Nobody cares for me. I can't get in the water first. Somebody else always beats me." And Jesus just looks at him and says, "Hey, I'm the guy. I'm the Savior. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ. I can heal you on the spot." And he looks down and he says, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Verse 9, immediately the man was made whole. He took up his bed and he walked. I don't care whatever your problem is. I don't care whatever your sin is. There is no problem, there is no sin that is too great for my Savior to handle. Amen. Whosoever handles all classes, all colors, and all conditions. Isaiah 55:1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come and buy and eat. Yea, buy wine and milk without money and without price." You don't have to have money. All you have to just do is be a whosoever. Amen. There are no exclusions. It includes all people. Can we get that clear? Number two, there are no exceptions. Now look at the text in John 3:16. Very clear, no exceptions. That whosoever believeth, there's our word, in him. Anyone can come, but you must come on God's terms. When you come with whatever condition you have, whosoever you are, you must come on God's terms. When you come, what must you do to be saved? You must believe. Amen. Now take your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 6 and verse 44. And if this verse is not underlined in your Bible and you would allow it to be underlined, I'd like for you to do so right now. John 6, 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. What does that mean? It means anyone can come to be saved, but there's only one way to be saved. Whosoever believeth in him, and you're not coming on your own, he draws you. The night I got saved, for some few days, thank God he gave me a second and a third and a fourth chance. Anybody here, God gave you a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth chance, hey man, to be saved. He didn't owe us that. But thank God he granted me that by his grace. And he drew me. I was such under conviction. My heart beating out of my chest. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And I was just 12 years old, man. I felt like I'd been running a marathon, and I'd been sitting there for about an hour in the service. I thought, get me out of here. I'm so uncomfortable. But what it was the Holy Ghost knocking on my heart's door. And I said, well, my daddy's a good man. My mama's a good lady. We coming from a good family. I go to a good church. Lord, won't that do? Isn't that good enough? No exceptions. You must come to Jesus and believe in him. Who is him? Believe in God? Well, that's good, but it's not good enough. You must believe in God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. While you're close, look at the book of John chapter 5. The book of John chapter 5, verse number 23. I want to read a couple of verses here. John 5, 23. Well, preacher, Darren, I believe in God. Isn't that good enough? Look what the Bible says. That all men, verse 23, that all men, who is all? It's a Greek word, everyone. No exceptions. That all men should honor the Son, capital S. That's the only begotten Son of God. Even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. So if you say, I worship God, but I'm not going to worship Jesus, then you're not worshiping God. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So it's clear to me, the word believeth, it denies that there are any other ways to be saved. All must be saved God's way. God's way is for us to believe in the Son of God, in His death, burial, and resurrection. I know people right now that say, hey, I believe in God. I believe in Allah. That's God. That's what they say. But there's a difference between God and the Allah and the God Almighty and the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we serve. Soon, for me to say that, it will be a hate crime for me to preach this message to you. But there is no other way whereby we must be saved. There's no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved but at the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to draw you in for a second. Listen here. Did you know the latest polls that I saw Mr. Barna conducted, what percent of Americans identify as born again? 34%. That say they have confessed their sins, repented, and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. 34% will go to heaven because of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It gets worse than you think. 55% of those 34% said that, well, it's not just Jesus. I'm a born again Christian because I live a good life. I'm a good person. I obey the Ten Commandments. No, you don't. My Bible says all have sinned. You're making me feel bad, preacher dear. No, I'm just telling you, and come short of the glory of God. Some think they're saved if they don't do certain things. Some think they're saved if they turn over a new leaf. Some think they're saved if they get baptized. Some think they're saved if they join the local church. Did you read that in the Bible in a nutshell? In the Bible in miniature, the gospel in miniature, John 3:16. There's enough gospel there to save the whole world. And it denies that salvation is in any other way than the Lord Jesus Christ. No exceptions. Read it again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever joins the church, that whosoever gets baptized, that whosoever makes the largest offering, that whosoever lives a good life, that whosoever keeps the Ten Commandments, that whosoever is born in America, no, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can you look at the preceding verse? Look at verse 15. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. It says it back to back in case you missed it. Now, believeth declares there's one single way to be saved. John Wesley, one of the greatest preachers, and his brother Charles was a great hymn writer as well. John Wesley lived a life that was religious, a life of righteousness, but he felt like something was missing. And he's going to church and he was trying to serve and do, but he felt like something was missing. And he went by a church. It was on, I wrote it down, on Aldersgate Street in London. And he heard someone reading out of the book of Romans, and he realized that his good works were not enough to save him. And he walked inside the room and heard the word of God being declared that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It's not about you trusting what you do. We've talked already. Love is an amazing thing. Sometimes we want to, so it was my anniversary. I said to my wife, I said, honey, what made you fall in love with me? What did I do? Was it my personality? Was it my eyes? Was it my charm? Was it my wit? What was it? She goes, well, it was a variety of things. I thought, that'd stop right there. That's good enough. I'll take that answer. Hallelujah. If she had said, well, it's nothing you did. You didn't do nothing. You'd have felt terrible. What if someone that you love said, why do you love me? I just do. How'd you feel? But see, we make love about us. God loves you not because of what you do or don't do. God loves you because he is love. God loves you and gave his son for you because he wants to see you go to heaven and spend all of eternity with him in glory. Salvation is not about something that you do. You don't work to get there. It's what he's done. And all you do is believe. All you do is repent of your sins, confess yourself a sinner, believe in him, and he saves your soul. Honey, it's that easy. No exceptions. Lastly, and I'm done, number three. There are no exemptions. You know how it is in the tax code. Well, there's an exemption. I know when you say no exceptions, but there's an asterisk. There's points one, two, and three subpoints. And I think that, you know how it is. If you put a sign in the grass at the church by the sidewalk that says, do not step on the grass, I promise you somebody will go. Because every one of you think you are the exemption to the rule. But I have a special case. After all, I'm me. And everybody can't get enough of me. That's why we have Facebook. And that's why I took 38 pictures of myself and uploaded it all in color so you can see you can't get enough of me. Because it's all about me. We live in a society of me. Lord, you love me, but it's because of me. You love me because I'm me. You love me for my wit, my personality, my charm. You love me because I go to church. You love me because I listen to Christian music. You love me because I read my Bible. You love me because, no, honey, he loves you because he's God. It's not anything you maintain or do. Hey, what you read and you pray, it's because you love him. That's the way you say you love him. You don't just say you love him. It's an action. It's something you do. Now hear me. No exclusions, whosoever. No exemptions. Believeth in him. There's no other way around it. It is recognizing that you cannot save yourself. It is recognizing and trusting him and him alone to save you. It's not about Buddha, Confucius or confused, or it's not about any other God. It's about Jesus. I had a former boss that said, Darren, I am not so narrow-minded in the world in which we live as to believe there's only one way. I mean, look, everybody has different phone numbers. You can make many different calls. There's many different choices. And I said, the word of God is very clear. There is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And God has chosen that Jesus is the only way you can go to heaven. I don't care who you are, what your name is, what you have to offer. There are no, absolutely zero exemptions. You must believe in the only begotten Son of God. I came here for an illustration. And in my office, I have a picture of my brother sitting on my desk, a picture of my family. I have on the walls pictures of preachers. The man of God who was preaching when I got saved, Brother Percy Ray, I got his picture up on my wall. I keep one on my phone as well. And I appreciate the man of God. I can't wait to see him one day and thank him for preaching to me when it wasn't popular. When he had to lay awake at night studying and praying and seeking God's face, agonized. No doubt the devil fought him over my soul, but he preached to me anyway. And I appreciate God giving him the grace to do so. I have another picture. It's a picture of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who's considered to be the prince of preachers. I mean, he went through such terrible times of even depression that oftentimes he would get, people would come to church, they wouldn't get there early for coffee and donuts or Sunday school. They'd get, or when they got there, they'd look and see, where's the preacher? Go pick him up. He thought himself unworthy to even, he was the pastor, thought himself unworthy to even be in the pulpit, and they would go and pick him up and bring him to church so he'd preach to them, the prince of preachers. And he said when he was 16 years old, he had lived a religious life, but he felt empty, something missing. You see, God allows that vacuum to happen to show you he's the only one that can fill that spot in your soul. He's the only, no exceptions, he's the only one that can give you real joy. The world gives you happiness and it may take it away, but he's the only one that can give you real joy and real peace. And he said he was walking down the road in the middle of a snowstorm on his way to his little church, and the snow got so deep and the wind started cutting him so bad that he decided, I'm not going to make it to the church I normally go to. I'm going to turn into this little church right here. He hadn't planned on stopping there, but he felt led to go into this little church. And it was so bad, the pastor of the church couldn't make it that night. And a man who was a shoe cobbler and just a few other people who was able to make it that night, who lived very, very close, he walked up to the pulpit and said, I'm unqualified to share, but I want to read out of Isaiah 45, 22. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. He said, my friends, this is a very simple text. It says, look. That does not require a lot of effort. It's not lifting your foot or even lifting your finger. You may be the biggest fool here, but one thing you can do is you can look. And he said to Spurgeon, who was a 16-year-old visitor that night, he said, young man, you look miserable. But if you will obey, tonight you can be saved. Young man, all you must do is look to Jesus Christ. And Spurgeon said, that night I did look. I looked to Jesus and he saved me. And that cloud that I had hanging over my head and that darkness that I had in my soul, they were vanquished and rolled away. I found out that whosoever can come to Jesus simply by looking. I'm glad, praise God, it was not a popularity contest. It was not a money thing. It was not a faithfulness contest. It was that I could look to Jesus Christ, whosoever, and he saved me that night. And for every single one of you that are here or under the sound of my voice online, if you've been saved, it's because you are a whosoever. Listen, I know I'm a nobody, but this nobody has come here to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. You stand to your feet. Maybe you need to thank him. Maybe you have a daughter or a grandson, a family member that you need to pray over. Right now would be the time to come. Maybe you need to be saved. Oh, Preacher Darren, I'm embarrassed. No, you would not be embarrassed. I promise you, it'll be the greatest day of your life, the day you call on Jesus as your Savior. Would you come? Mind him. Maybe you're online. Preacher, I don't know what to do. I'm miserable, Preacher Darren. I need to be saved. What must I do? Young man, young lady, will you listen to me? All you need to do is just find yourself a place to bow your head and tell God this. Just say it in your heart. Say it out loud. Tell him, Lord, I'm a sinner. You already know I'm a sinner. All have sinned. I'm all I've sinned. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross? Do you believe he rose again? Do you believe he's knocking on your heart's door? All you need to do is ask him, say, Lord, I believe you died. I believe you was buried. But I believe you was raised up. and I want to let you in. You're knocking on my heart. Lord, will you save me? Will you forgive me my sins? Will you come in my life? Let me go to heaven. Right now, if you'd do that, would you ask him to save you? Friend, he'd save you just like that. He'd be Lord of your life. There are people all over this altar today that's just like you. They've called on Jesus, and now they're thanking him for salvation, thanking him for forgiving them, thanking him that they get to go to heaven one day, asking God to save their family members. Let's pray now. Lord, as we bow this morning, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Father, I'm thankful today for the gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm unworthy and I'm undeserving, but all I had to do was look, and Lord, you saved me. When I turned to you, when I looked to you, you forgave me my sins, and now I'm on my way to heaven. And Lord, I get to share the gospel with these fine folks that are listening. Oh God, would you save our family? God, would you let us go to heaven? Not because of anything we do, but because of what Jesus already done. Oh, Lord, I love you today. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. I ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.